I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Back to our phone lines now. Let's go to Amy in Salt Lake. Good morning, Amy. How can we help you this morning?
Yes, I have two questions. We got new sod in, and we noticed a lot of little divots on it. And my neighbor has the same problem, who does not have new sod, and realized that it's raccoons digging the sod. You know, they come at night when we can't find them, of course. What can we do to, you know, prevent raccoons from, you know, doing that?
So the raccoons are making the divots. If they're making divots in your lawn, they're eating something underneath. And so they just don't, I mean, they're a nuisance. But they're looking for food, and so we need to figure out what's down there. You know, it's late enough in the year that I don't know if you even sprayed anything that it would be effective, because it's cooler, and they're probably looking for dormant pupa, you know, like the pupa where they're kind of going from the grub to an adult or something along those lines. And so you may need to wait for spring to do a treatment. You could try one now and see if it did anything of just like a grub killer, but I suspect that's what they're going after, but you probably will need to do one in the spring.
Okay. Is there a certain brand? I did buy something I saw at Home Depot, but, you know, didn't do much. So
with it being cooler, you're going to have to read the instructions and follow them, but you could try, instead of a preventative, something along the lines of like Dilox, which BioAdvanced makes. It's just called 24-hour grub control or something. You know, it's more expensive, but seven. But if you could find some Dilox, I would use it on the higher rate. And then once you put it down, you want to water it in for 5 or 10 minutes to get it through the thatch down to where you need it.
Okay, excellent. And then my other question, I think I need to send in a soil sample because I just can't get any things to grow in my wood boxes. I think, you know, as I pull the soil away from the edge, there's some sort of white powdery stuff, and it might be because the wood is decaying. I don't know. Any ideas?
There could be a microorganism that's really common in potting soil and raised bed mixes to see a white powder in the soil or on the edges. And I think that it's probably just some spores or something from the microorganisms, and it's not necessarily bad. So get your soil tested, and when you send those samples in, what you'll want to do is identify it as a raised bed mix or a, you know, like a garden bed mix, and they can test accordingly. And it might be that it's too salty or that it's missing phosphorus or potassium or something, but that's why you get it tested to find out.
And where do I go to get it tested? Because I know I can send it to Utah State, or how do I contact
Utah
them?
State or BYU are the two places I would look at. The USU website is just the word usual.usu.edu.
Okay.
And the BYU one is, if you just Google BYU Analytical Laboratory, it'll come up.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Amy. Thanks for your questions this morning. Next person is asking Ton when the best time is to prune their apple tree.
In the spring, well, in late winter and mid-February.
Okay. When is the best time to transplant a rose of Sharon?
When it's dormant, so 2 or 3 weeks down the road, they could try doing it. If it's a monster plant, I don't know that they're going to have a lot of success, but if they want to try, just in 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. Can people aerate now, and is there a benefit to that?
Not really. You can, and if your soil is compacted, it'd be worth doing. but it's not ideal. They should have done it a month ago. The other ideal time to do it is sometime in mid to late April into May.
All right, let's go to Larry in Mapleton. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. I have a question about some dwarf Alberta spruce.
Okay, go ahead.
We planted these about 10 years ago. They stayed small for the longest time, and then they kind of exploded. So they're about 6 feet tall, and we need to either take them out or relocate them. Is there any hope of transplanting them successfully if they're that tall?
It depends on how determined you are. They're a little big, but because they're compact as compared to what a regular spruce would be, what you would need to do, how wide are they?
They are about 3 to 4 feet in diameter.
So 3 to 4 feet. So they're pretty massive. You know, what you would have to do is go in and limb them up about a foot off of the ground so you can dig around them. And you'd need a root ball about 2 feet wide and about 18 inches to 2 feet deep, probably 18 inches. You would trench around them so that your root ball was that wide. And then you'd have to carefully start sliding your shovel underneath to sever those roots, and then very gently just put the trees onto a tarp and move them as carefully as you could. Now, I'm not guaranteeing they would survive, but that would be the process, and you'd wait another couple of weeks to do this.
Okay. So first thing, wait 2 weeks, and then proceed with caution.
Proceeds with caution, and you're not going to be able to dig around them very easily, and so you're probably going to have to go into the base with some shears or some hand pruners and limb them up 6 inches to a foot so that you have that much of the trunk exposed so you can actually work around them.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your call this morning. Next person wants to know, are there climbing roses that they could grow in a pot on the east side of their house? Can you grow climbing roses in a pot?
They just are too massive. And they would survive for a year or two, but they would die over the winter because roses don't do well in pots outside in Utah. If you were in Los Angeles or Portland, they would do a lot better. But here we get too cold, and so they would need to be planted in the ground.
So they need to know if they want to do that, that they're going to only last a year.
At the most, yeah. They might get 2 years, but the next year it'd be 3/4 of the way dead. Or they would, I mean, there's just not an ideal way to do this because you would have to move it inside. But because it's a climber, those stems on there are 6 feet or 10 feet long. So you're going to have to whack it back, and it's possible, but problematic.
Okay. Do you have your filter on?
I do.
The next person is asking how to keep their neighbor's dogs that they take for walks out of their trees and green grass. And they want to know if there's anything they can put on them to keep them healthy and keep the dogs away.
Well, the first option is to talk to the neighbors about it because those dogs shouldn't be outside without a leash. It's against the law. Second, there's not really a spray that you can use. It you might, you know, temporarily, but you know, once that spray's dry, it's not too successful. You know, unfortunately, if talking to the neighbors doesn't work and you don't have hundreds of dollars to put in a fence, law enforcement or the dog catcher might be the best option.
Okay, and then we have Bart that's called in this morning. Good morning, Bart.
All right, guys, I'm just checking in. I want you to know I've been questioned about my longevity.
Somebody was worried that we hadn't heard from you for a while.
My life's motto is, as long as you can suck air, soup, pin, poop, and eat a homegrown tomato every day, you may live long and prosper. And I just passed 88, and I'm doing great.
Nice. And how are your tomatoes?
Great. Now, I got a question for Ton about transplanting trees. Now, I found out years ago, and I did this, that lady called about transplanting a peach. And because I was moving, and this was my wife's favorite tree, and she had passed away, I wanted to save it. And it was about 4-inch diameter trunk. When I moved it, I done it on the last day in February. I oriented it to the sun, too. Have you ever heard of that?
Not particularly. What was your purpose behind it?
Well, I wanted to save the tree. And the growth rings on a tree grow according to the sun, correct?
Well, they can, because just where the south and west sides of the tree are.
When I transplanted that tree, I made sure the north side was to the north, south was to the south.
Okay, that's what you're meaning. I thought you had actually tilted your tree like a cannon at a 45-degree angle.
No, that helped in the transplant, and that tree didn't. But another thing I did to it, I cut it way back. Yeah. I didn't even have a root ball on it.
Huh.
And when I moved it and transplanted it, the tree acted like it was never even moved. And it's been bearing fruit ever since. Terrific.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that they, if they move it, they should do is in, now it wouldn't make a lot of sense to do a lot of pruning because it's fall, but in March, early March, next year, mid-March, I would cut that tree back if they move it.
Anytime they're moving a big tree, it's best to cut it back.
Yeah, and I would do that.
The tomatoes are great, and I had a great crop of long keepers this year.
Good.
I'll be eating tomatoes till I get fresh ones next spring.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Bart. So glad to hear from you.
Well, glad you're not taking your dirt nap, Bart.
Glad to hear from you, Bart. And we're going to take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show, spending your Saturday morning with Ton and I. We are happy to take your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next texter is asking Ton when they can divide their variegated iris.
Variegated iris should be divided in late summer. Any iris, actually. The iris will recover better. And because you have warmer soil temperatures, they're less susceptible to fungal diseases by doing it then. So late August into early September.
Mm-hmm. Next texter wants to know if they can plant a tree that they just got this week and any special precautions?
No, I would get it in the ground. One thing I would look for on the tree is you follow the trunk down, there'll be a knot at the bottom of the tree where it was grafted. And if you don't see that, depending on the kind of tree, you may need to dig into the root ball a little bit, but that knot should be above ground. So when you plant that, that graft should be an inch or two above the soil surface, and you should see just a little bit of flare on the trunk, and that's the level you put the tree in at.
Okay, while we're on the subject of trees, we have a call from Chris in Centerville. Good morning, Chris. How can we help you?
Hey, guys.
What was your question, Chris?
How are you guys?
We're doing very well, thanks.
So we have a lot of trees on the property I live on fairly old trees, probably, I imagine, I think there's at least a dozen trees that are all taller than the house. We had one in particular that snapped in half during the windstorm and is now leaning across a driveway and kind of tangled into two other trees. Is that something that would be at all safe to try and just like get a team of people together to take down, or do we just need to bring in a professional to do that?
Well, it depends on your capabilities and the equipment you own and the danger that you might face should something go wrong. So, you know, if that tree's just laying there and there's not really a huge danger of it bounding back somehow, and it's just more some work, you could definitely go get a crew of people to help you out. But, you know, sometimes those things will bend over and lay on the ground, and a lot of those branches will be compressed but not broken, just like a bow. And when you cut them, they will rebound on you. And so you need to be careful with that. And it just depends otherwise on your capability and how comfortable you are with handling that sort of equipment.
All right, Chris, are you still there? Okay.
I wonder if he's listening on the radio.
Okay. I think we've lost Chris. I'm going to go to the next texter. First of all, I need to know, what is Papa's planet?
Well, it's a typo. What they were trying to say is they have pawpaw fruit trees planted.
No wonder I didn't know what it was.
Well, it took me a minute, and I look at that, and I'm grateful that I'm not the only one that,
I'm like, what is that?
Has typos when I text people, and sometimes not really great ones, but yeah.
Okay, so they survived the first of the summer fine. What care do they need now?
Really not much. Pawpaws don't require a lot of pruning unless you have dead or diseased wood in them, and they're not really disease or pest prone. So if it's doing well, just let it overwinter and go from there.
All right.
Now, we did post a Facebook group called Utah Rare Fruit Growers. Rare Fruit Growers. I'll enunciate that a little better. But you can go to our Facebook, the Greenhouse Facebook page, and find the hyperlink to that and join that group. And there's many people in there that are growing pawpaws if you want really specific advice on what they're doing and how they've been successful.
Okay. While you're on that subject, then the next texter wants to know which Facebook group would help them identify plants in their yard, because you were suggesting one last week.
Well, there's several out there that are really good, and USU Extension's site is Utah Gardening Experts, and that one, there's usually people that know. There's Utah Gardeners, which is a good one. Alex Grover's group. Utah's Best Gardeners is another one. There is actually a Utah plant identification group, but that one is more for, even though people put ornamentals on it, they put a lot of natives and things. Mm-hmm. That one has some very qualified people, but there's many of them out there.
Okay, let's take our next caller. That is Rick in Springville. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I have a question about apple trees again. Our apple tree only produces every other year. And it's very prolific when it does produce. And two questions. You answered about pruning in February. Does it matter if it was a production year or not? And then the other question, is there a way to get it to produce every year instead of every other year?
There is a way to get it to be more likely to produce annually. So what's going on is the tree, when it's very prolific, is overbearing. And it takes a year off to get enough energy to do another apple crop the next year. Now, I hope my fruit professors on campus aren't listening, because that's an oversimplification and not quite what's going on. But for what we're doing, it's fine. So it has to do with more of the buds and things like that. But the tree's tired. And so what you're going to have to do is, when it bears next year, or, you know, the next time you get a good crop load on it in May, when those fruit are about the size of a dime, you're going to thin so that you only have one apple for about every 6 inches to foot of branch. And what this will do is make the tree more likely to produce annually. So at least you might get a heavier crop and then a lighter crop, but you will get apples every year. And the more you keep this up, the more likely the tree will be to even out.
Very cool. And then, does it matter which year we prune it back significantly in February?
Well, you don't want to prune it back significantly, because you only want to take about 20% of the branching out. And so if it needs significant pruning, it's going to be a project over 3 or 4 or 5 years to get it in control.
Okay.
So if you prune it significantly, what you're going to do is ruin the branch structure. If there's some there, you know, if it's been pruned in the past, and you're going to make the tree angry, and you're going to have sucker sprouts and water sprouts everywhere, and it'll become a bigger problem down the road. Now, some apples are just really aggressive, and the rootstocks can make that worse, and depending on what they're grafted onto. And so it may be something that, you know, if that tree is 35 feet in the air, it's because the rootstock is capable and vigorous enough to absorb enough water and nutrients to make it so. And if you try to take it down to 15 feet, you're just going to have a mess.
All right, Rick, thanks so much for your call. We're up against a break for the top of the hour news. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.